photograph-based machine learning approach for automated detection and differentiation of aerial blight disease in soybean crops. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. When you think of major Indian crops, you probably think of rice, wheat, pulses like lentils, sugarcane, cotton, and tea. So it might surprise you to hear that soybeans are also very important. In fact, India grows more than 11 million tons of them every year. But there's an issue. Soybeans are quite vulnerable to disease. One of the worst attackers is called Rhizoctonia aerial blight. It's a fast-spreading fungal infection that thrives in hot, humid conditions and can wipe out entire sections of the field if it's not caught early. Farmers have to spot it by eye, out in the field, usually by looking for blotchy or wilted patches of leaves. But in a giant field, spotting these kinds of issues isn't easy. The early stage symptoms look a lot like insect damage or bacterial spots or viral leaf curl. By the time the blight is obvious, it may already be too late. To be clear, manual inspection does work when there's plenty of time and expertise on the ground, but there usually isn't. There are thousands of square miles of these crops in the country, and agronomists can't be everywhere. So most of the time, farmers fall back to guesswork. This is especially true in rural areas where access to diagnostics is limited. That's the context for this paper. The authors are building an automated classification system for aerial blight that runs off photos taken on a phone. No drones, no hyperspectral sensors, just regular handheld RGB images captured directly in the field by whoever is tending the crop. As long as they have a smartphone, they can do it. Take a photo of a leaf and get back a label that tells you whether the plant is healthy or infected. On today's episode, we're going to walk through the full pipeline they designed for this task. We'll dig into the dataset itself, the class taxonomy, and how the authors handled augmentation to simulate real field variability. From there, we'll walk through the models they compared against each other, classical baselines, and the CNNs, including VGG16, ResNet18, and ResNet34. To clarify, the goal of this paper is not to build a new model architecture, it's to evaluate a range of existing ones and to figure out which one is right for this task, from simple linear classifiers to deep neural nets. The authors want to know whether off-the-shelf networks can be trained to handle this kind of field-collected data and how far you can push performance using only basic techniques like augmentation and resolution scaling. The question is, can a farmer take a photo with their phone and get back a diagnosis that's accurate enough to act on? Not perfect, just good enough to beat manual guesswork. What do you think? Possible? Impossible? Let's jump in. The author's total dataset included around 6,000 images of soybean leaves, spanning 8 categories. Healthy, bacterial pustules, insect attack, bacterial blight, viral disease, Rhizoctonia aerial blight, severe Rhizoctonia aerial blight, and multi-disease class, where the symptoms overlap. The photos were captured at a fairly close distance, around 15 to 20 centimeters, that's about half a foot, from the leaf surface, and always with the device vertical. There was no effort to standardize backgrounds or lighting. The goal was to simulate how a typical farmer would take photos in a field, not to create lab-quality input. The labels for each category were assigned manually. But to be clear, this is weakly labeled data with class boundaries that are inherently fuzzy. Some conditions, like insect damage versus early-stage Rhizoctonia, share a lot of features. Others, like the multi-disease class, are purposefully ambiguous. And that ambiguity carries through to training, so any model working on this dataset will have to deal with imprecision, not just in the image quality, but in the ground truth itself. The dataset also reflects a natural class imbalance. Rhizoctonia is the dominant disease in the region and appears more frequently in the data than the others. Rarer classes, like bacterial pustules and viral diseases, have fewer examples. This imbalance is not corrected with oversampling or synthetic expansion at this stage. It is left intact during collection to reflect realistic deployment distributions. Before any model training happens, the images go through two key stages, pre-processing and augmentation. Both are critical here because of the variable lighting, inconsistent framing, background clutter, and field noise, like water droplets, shadows, or blur in the images. If you feed that kind of data directly into a classifier, you're going to get performance degradation right away. So in pre-processing, the goal is to standardize the inputs and remove sources of noise that don't carry any disease-related signal. The paper doesn't use any particularly advanced denoising or segmentation, but it does take care of common artifacts. Low contrast images, out-of-focus samples, and shadows are cleaned up. This ensures that the models aren't learning spurious correlations from things like leaf angle or background soil color. It's a straightforward image cleanup pipeline, but necessary to get any meaningful signal out of the field data. Augmentation plays a bigger role. The authors use it not just for regularization, but to explicitly simulate real-world capture conditions. Most farmers aren't taking pictures from a fixed height or angle, so the models are trained to handle variation by injecting controlled transformations into the data. These augmentations include random rotation, horizontal and vertical flips, 10% zoom, and dihedral transformations. These aren't just cosmetic tweaks. They help the network learn invariant features by forcing it to recognize disease patterns at multiple scales and orientations. Zooming is particularly important. Symptoms of blight can show up as small lesions or wide patches, depending on the stage of the infection and the leaf size. The 10% zoom augmentation gives the network exposure to both macro and micro views of the disease. Dihedral transformations simulate off-angle shots and asymmetric framing, which are common when someone takes a photo without aligning the phone to the leaf. Overall, these augmentations increase robustness without requiring more data collection, which is critical in this case since class imbalance is already a problem. What's worth noting is that the augmentation strategy is consistent across all the models they end up testing. They do toggle it on and off, as we'll see later, but it's not tuned per architecture. The model lineup is deliberately broad. It spans both classical ML and deep CNN architectures, and they're all evaluated on the same task: image-level classification across the 8 categories we talked about. There's no segmentation or detection involved. It's just straight supervised learning on noisy labeled images. As the baseline models, they start with logistic regression and support vector machines. Both are shallow, single-layer classifiers. Then it was on to convolutional territory. They tested VGG16, ResNet18, and ResNet34, and they did multiple variants of each, testing them with augmentations toggled off and on to see if the results improved. In total, 9 model variants were tested. So, what were the results? Shallow models like logistic regression and SVM performed reasonably well on aerial blight, but broke down almost completely on every other category. For logistic regression, the model correctly identifies Rhizoctonia in most cases, but nearly all other images get lumped into the same bucket. SVM does slightly better on Rhizoctonia, but fails similarly across the board on minority classes. It achieves high recall on the dominant class, but at the cost of precision, flooding predictions with false positives. In both models, early and severe stages of aerial blight are frequently misclassified as one another. VGG16 was markedly better. It started to recover meaningful signal on minority classes. Bacterial pustules and healthy leaves were classified with decent precision and recall. Viral infections are detected at a much higher rate, and even some of the multiple disease examples get sorted correctly. Rhizoctonia versus severe rhizoctonia still confuse the model, but overall F1 scores improve substantially compared to the baselines. Toggling the augmentation on pushed things up even further, but still, some categories remain challenging. Insect attack leaves, for example, were consistently misclassified. ResNet 18 improves recall slightly, but the real gain comes from ResNet 34, with augmentation turned on. It is the only model in the paper that achieves high precision and recall across all classes simultaneously. Even subtle distinctions, like separating bacterial blight from bacterial pustules, or rhizoctonia from severe rhizoctonia, are resolved with higher confidence. The deeper architecture gives it the representational capacity to handle overlapping features, and the augmentation helps with robustness to real-world distortions like angle and scale. Here's the bottom line. 1. The shallow models failed at multi-class discrimination under realistic data conditions. 2. The mid-range CNNs recovered part of the signal. 3. Deeper ResNet variants deliver the only viable solution for deployment-level accuracy. But overall, class-wise analysis shows that the system's ability to detect common diseases is not good enough. The edge case classes, where the cost of misclassification is highest, are the ones that separate an academic benchmark from something that might actually be used in the field. So it's difficult to say that we've reached deployment grade with this work. Also notable is how much of the performance gains came from the right kind of augmentation. Zooming, flipping, and dihedral transforms weren't just used to pad the dataset, they were used to mimic real variance. That level of alignment between training time assumptions and test time conditions is one of the more transferable lessons of this work. If you're building computer vision systems for deployment in uncontrolled environments, this paper is worth a closer read. Not because the architectures are new, but because the setup is honest. The models were tested under field conditions, not just validated on curated datasets, and the conclusions are practical. If you want to run a disease classifier on edge devices with low training overhead and acceptable generalization, this gives you a clear starting point. Not a full, perfect solution, but something to get you going. And if you want to see exactly how each model performed class by class, the full confusion matrices and F1 breakdowns are in the appendix. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.